Welcome to order at 9 a.m.
All right, the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a quick roll call.
Commissioner Harkness.
Here.
Commissioner Baker.
Here.
Commissioner Ogren.
Present.
Commissioner Valenzuela.
Yep.
Commissioner Bryan.
Present.
Thank you.
I'd like to welcome our new our new commissioners and administer the oath of office.
That's my job to do that. So.
Of course.
Okay, so Mr. Mazzoni and Ms. Baker, do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that you take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which you are about to enter?
I do.
Thank you. And I'll have you sign the oath after the meeting. Thank you.
All right. Next item of business is election of chair and vice chair for 2023. Open it up for conversation.
I'll nominate Matthew to be the chair.
A second.
Any discussion? All right. I will accept, I guess. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Against? All right. Motion carries. Nomination of vice chair.
I'll nominate Ms. Ogren to be the vice chair.
I second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Against? Motion carries unanimously.
That was fast.
Get through meetings. Approval of the minutes for October 11th.
Through the chair?
Yes.
So you were absent, so only Ms. Ogren, Valenzuela, and Harkness can
approve. Move to approve.
Second.
Thank you.
A point of order, I recently heard that that is not the case. As odd as that is.
What do you mean?
Meaning you can vote to approve minutes when you weren't in attendance.
As long as you've read them.
As long as you've read them.
Oh.
Which was news to me, but.
Did you read them?
I have read them.
Okay. I didn't know that either, so that's good to know.
I prefer to go both ways.
Yeah, we heard one thing for a while and then got some clarification recently.
I'm happy either way.
All right.
Do you want to vote?
Is there a motion?
I've moved already.
Okay.
Second.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Against? Motion carries. So moving to unscheduled appearances. Do we have any today?
We do have one person online. They do not, however, have their hand up. If you would like to speak as an unscheduled appearance, please raise your hand. Seeing none.
Seeing none, we'll close unscheduled appearance section. Move into item 7, conflict of interest declaration. Does anyone have any conflicts of interest to declare? Seeing none. We'll move into item 8, presentation of documents. Any documents to be presented? Are we good all the way until old business?
We should just ask the public to review, but there's really nobody here.
Yeah, so. I don't see anyone here. So if anyone has any questions regarding the availability of public records or the public hearing protocol, please voice your concerns, questions now. Hearing none, let's move into our agenda. Item 11, 2, old business. Appoint alternate member at large.
Okay, Haley Lang, executive officer. So due to our last meeting, which was way back in October, there was a split vote related to the appointment of Angelina Cook to the position of the alternate member at large. And so we are bringing that vote back for you all today.
Is Ms. Cook present?
Not today.
We do have one unless person online, but I do not know if that's Ms. Cook.
Well, regardless, I'll make the motion to approve Ms. Cook as the alternate.
Okay. I will second. Any discussion?
Only to say that's only been our business for the last couple of weeks.
I think it's been over a year.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we're just, and at large, you know, that it's time to move on.
Right. No. Seeing no further discussion.
Go ahead.
I believe I have to open up for public comment.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're opening to public comment. If you're on Zoom, please raise your hands if you'd like to comment.
We're on your item right now.
Yeah. Welcome. If you'd like to say a word or two on why you'd like to serve as the member at large.
We just
or alternate
the
member at large.
All right. Well, thank you and good morning. I am Angelina Cook. I've lived in McLeod since 2009. Mount Shasta area since 2005, and I have been involved in public service in the nonprofit. Excuse me.
There's a lot of
steps. And hopefully you've reviewed my application. It was submitted a while ago. And hopefully it was explanatory of my intention to serve on LAFCO. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for the candidate? All right, thank you so much, Angelina. All right, let's move into a roll call vote.
Okay, Commissioner Harkness?
Aye.
Commissioner Baker?
Aye.
Commissioner Ogren?
No.
Commissioner Valenzuela?
Yes.
Chair Brian?
Aye.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome to the LAFCO Commission. Move into.
We can skip 1A.
You can skip 1A?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move to new business. Item 1, consider change to start time of regular meetings. I believe Commissioner Valenzuela has some comments on this.
No, that costs time with me. I usually spend when I come up here, I have a full day's worth of work to do up here, so that costs a fine time for me to start.
How does it work for staff? Is that the preferred time?
Sure. Yeah.
If anyone wants to start at 6:30, I have to go for that too.
No. Not after daylight savings.
Yeah, I know.
It's a little early this week.
Daylight savings was tough this year.
Yeah.
I had to be ready at 7 yesterday, so very tough.
Okay.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. Do we need a resolution or just can we direct?
Just.
Any objections to 9 o'clock start time? See none? Let it be so direct. Then our second agenda item, presentation of new commissioners appointed to Siskiyou LAFCO.
All right, thank you, Haley Lang, Executive Officer. So since we have some new commissioners this year, we thought it would be a good idea to kind of do a LAFCO one-on-one presentation on, you know, what LAFCO is all about, what decisions you make, you know, what is everything involved within LAFCO. So we have a presentation for you all this morning. So why was LAFCO created? So LAFCO was created post-World War II and also within the housing boom of California. Following streetcars, there were suburbs, and there was a scramble to finance and extend existing services. City annexation wars created a proliferation of a limited purpose special districts. And so Governor Pat Brown's Commission on Urban Problems focused on the need to encourage orderly boundaries within a main primary role of LAFCO. Next slide. LAFCO's purposes. So the purpose of LAFCO is to encourage orderly boundaries, to discourage urban sprawl, to preserve agricultural and open space, to encourage efficient public services and to also consider regional housing needs, adequate water, and other key issues. So there is no statewide commission or agency related to LAFCO. There is a LAFCO in each county in California. LAFCO is a local control commission and has no state appointees. LAFCOs are independent and there is no administrative appeal process for LAFCO. Legislative history. So I just wanted to highlight some key events related to LAFCO. So this dates back to 1963. The Knox-Nesbitt Act created LAFCOs to regulate boundaries. In 1965, there was the District Reorganization Act to unify district procedures. In 1971, spheres of influence, those were created and integrated within LAFCO. 1972 allowed for special district members to be within LAFCO commissions. And in 1977, the Municipal Organization Act cleaned up city procedures related to LAFCO. In 1983, there were deadlines created to prepare the spheres of influences. In 1985, the Cortez-Knox-Hertzberg Act, also known as CKH, recodified LAFCO and its procedures. In 1993, there was AB 1335, which further improved on procedures. And in 2000, AB 2838 had some major reforms related to LAFCO, furthering procedures. So the growth within bounds, this was a report that was created to discuss recommendations related to LAFCO and the purposes of LAFCO, and I will just highlight a few of them. So LAFCOs are intended to be neutral, independent, and provide well-balanced representation. Strengthen LAFCO powers to prevent urban sprawl and ensure orderly extensions of governmental services. The purpose of municipal service reviews is to inform sphere of influence updates. And lastly, the need to strengthen policies to protect agricultural and open space. Commissioner role. So it's important to understand, why LAFCO matters, what decisions will you make, and what are your responsibilities. A commissioner ultimately makes decisions supported by statute, local policies, and sound and comprehensive analyses. A commissioner exercises independent judgment on behalf of the public, not an appointing agency. Based on CKH and local LAFCO policies, not on interest of appointing agencies alone. The LAFCO hat involves a broader perspective representing the public as a whole. Commissioners ultimately make final decisions. The decisions cannot be appealed to other administrative bodies. LAFCO staff is held accountable to the commission and LAFCO statutes, and the commission adopts local policies and procedures related to LAFCO. LAFCO composition. So the Siskiyou County LAFCO, we are under the basic composition, which is two county supervisors, two city council members, one public member, and an alternate for each category. There are 30 LAFCOs, which are under different compositions that are highlighted in yellow, which include two special district members plus an alternate. Some LAFCOs have special seats, and then this also includes counties with no cities. What type of decisions do you make? There's a lot of decisions that a LAFCO commissioner may make, and those include city incorporation and disincorporation, district formations and dissolutions, annexations and detachments, consolidations of two or more cities or districts, service extensions outside of a district or a city, sphere of influences or municipal service reviews, activate Latin powers, and review prior service contracts. There are many local agencies regulated by LAFCO, primarily counties, cities, and most special district, but it also includes many other types of groups, including JPAs, bridge and highway districts, council of governments, air pollution or quality districts, and many more. There are three primary LAFCO planning functions, which include develop and update spheres of influence for cities and districts, prepare MSR reviews for all local jurisdictions and to work work cooperatively on growth, preservation, and service delivery issues. LAFCO's regulatory function. This includes administering modification of existing agencies and creation of new ones. This considers boundary changes, controls extension of public services, and also is prohibited from directly regulating land use. LAFCO is also subject to CEQA, an environmental review. Many LAFCO actions are considered projects under CEQA, but at the same time, many LAFCO actions are usually categorically exempt. Since I've been here, I don't think we've had anything that has not been exempted related to CEQA. And there are actually two classes within CEQA exemptions tailored to LAFCO actions, which are classes 19 and 20. Next slide. LAFCO's legal role. So while the powers are broad, LAFCO jurisdiction is limited to certain actions and are limited to those powers granted by statute. LAFCO must consider land use issues but not regulate them directly. Legislature has given LAFCO's authority over boundary decisions and other government organization issues. LAFCO is the legislator's watchdog for local governments. One job is to monitor local government actions. LAFCO is subject to a number of state laws, including the Cortez-Knox-Hertzberg Act, the Brown Act, Public Records Act, CEQA, Revenue and Tax Code, Political Reform Act, and other conflict of interest laws, the Levine Act, and various principal acts. LAFCO's key legal concerns. So LAFCO must act in accordance with state law and locally adopted policies. LAFCO must comply with CEQA as a lead or responsible agency. And LAFCO must adopt determinations to support decisions and also adhere to terms and conditions of the CKH Act. LAFCO has limited legal challenge. LAFCO decisions are quasi-legislative. They are not appealable except to the courts. There is a short period to file suit, and there is limited legal challenge to decisions, upheld as long as decisions are not arbitrary and capricious. Any decision within LAFCO can be litigated, so it's good for LAFCO to have a good, solid administrative record. And should you have any questions related to litigation claims, you know, talk to counsel early and often about those issues. What claims are most common within LAFCO? So CEQA claims, Cortez-Knox, Hertzberg, civil rights claims, PRA, Brown Act, and Political Reform Act claims. Each LAFCO is independent. You know, LAFCO provides their own personnel, staff, appoints an executive officer, appoints legal counsel. LAFCO can contract for staff services, and LAFCO has administrative authority as an independent public agency. LAFCO is funded locally. We must adopt our budget for each fiscal year by June 15th. Many LAFCOs approve a work plan annually. The budget process is outlined in the CKH Act. There is minimum funding levels are defined within statute. Net cost is funded by county, city, special districts, usually in equal shares, and the county auditor calculates charges and processes the invoices for LAFCO. LAFCO staff serves the public and the commission. We serve the commission by providing accurate and comprehensive information. We analyze and interpret CKH and other laws subject to LAFCO, such as CEQA. We process proposals consistent with CKH and local procedures and policies. We prepare staff reports, studies, and make decisions. And lastly, we implement commission decisions. So these are kind of the main current challenges within the sphere of LAFCO, which include sphere updates, service extensions, authority to improve conditions, special requirements for agricultural land conversion, and disadvantaged unincorporated communities. And so all of these processes are outlined within the CKH Act guidelines. And so lastly, I just put up some links for LAFCO resources to use. You know, should you want any further information. So that was my presentation, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. there any questions?
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have one, and maybe this would be more to Rachel and to you, Haley, but could you give us a sense of what LAFCO and Siskiyou County has done, say, in the last, you know, in your experience here? Like, what do we actually end up dealing with locally more often?
So the most that we do at a staff level, other than provide you guys with reports, is we actually have a lot of out-of-area service agreements. A lot of those are in South County, in Dunsmuir, and in Mount Shasta. Actually, Mount Shasta has its own agreement so that they don't have to go through LAFCO. It was, and actually, your city planner for Dunsmuir has been trying to track down the agreement that we have with Mount Shasta so that Dunsmuir can also get that agreement so that they don't have to get an out-of-area service agreement every single time somebody needs to extend their service. So out-of-area service agreements are what we deal with locally that you guys mostly never see unless they do not meet the requirements for administrative approval for an out-of-area service agreement. Beyond that, we do, we're supposed to be doing municipal service reviews of all the cities and special districts every 5 years. We're behind on the special districts. The cities we actually have managed to do a pretty good job of. Even through staffing changes at LAFCO. But right now, the one that you guys have directed us to work on as far as what is most important to our county is actually the fire districts and fire departments within the county. The last time they had a municipal service review and sphere of influence update was in 2006, so we're a little behind. So we actually have been working with a contractor that you guys selected, and they have been diligently working on that. We can give a little update on that either now or during staff comments. It's up to you guys.
We could probably do that in staff comments.
Okay.
And then just to give us a sense, you don't have to have an exact number, but how many special districts does our county have?
How many what?
Special districts.
Oh, like 50. We have a lot. Like, a lot. There are some counties that there are some counties that don't even have any specifically for fire districts. They don't have any. And we have, just for fire districts, we have probably a couple dozen.
Yeah.
So we have a lot. And that's something that we'll talk about during the staff comments as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Any further questions? Let's move into items for discussion direction. So future meetings. Will we be meeting on April 11th?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Through the chair?
Yes.
It's going to involve the preliminary budget.
Okay.
The next fiscal year, and then May will be the final budget.
Okay.
So hopefully everybody will be available to attend.
Yeah, and I had an issue last October because we had been allowed to participate remotely up until just before that, and I was out of town at a real estate conference and could have participated, but that's no longer an option, so just be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Talking with the alternates. Okay, any correspondence?
Nope.
Staff comments.
So we, and I'm trying to find the email real quick. I thought I had it up, but I don't. We have been working with contractors for the Fire Protection Municipal Service Review and Sphere of Influence update. They have had a really hard time actually getting the fire districts to respond, and it you know, our little districts, they see somebody calling them and their phone number is not local and they just don't answer it. And so we at a staff level and locally here within the county have had to do a lot of pushing to get people to answer their phone and to actually schedule an interview with their contractor. But the most recent update is that they were able to at least get a hold of everybody and schedule meetings, you know, over the phone. But the majority of them have actually been done. And actually, Jason Bella, who is one of our local fire chiefs, he actually had to call and talk to them and explain to them how important this process is. So we're stumbling block due to, you know, local characters in our county, but we are actually doing really good with that at this point. They have been doing a lot of background work with the districts that have responded and analyzing the data and stuff like that. They had one technical advisory committee meeting, and they are scheduled for another one. I don't recall off the top of my head when that is, but they have been making a lot of progress, and I'm happy with their progress at this point. We can give you another update at the next meeting if you guys like as well. Additionally, just this week, we're in a email thread for all of the LAFCOs, and there is a LAFCO commissioner who's going to be meeting with the statewide fire protection districts organization, and she was asking for any input as to what we have done locally in LAFCO with throughout the county, or throughout the state rather, to change the districts, or what has been happening. And I have a response from about 12 different counties that they emailed and responded, and there is so much going on in fire protection districts in the county, and I can forward you these emails or just send you a summary email if you'd like. But in general, the trend is going towards consolidation and reduction of all of these little districts. A big part of that is because if you have one little district, you're required to have all the same requirements that a big district has, and it's taking a huge amount of their budget to meet these requirements, and most of them, frankly, aren't meeting their requirements because they can't afford to. So by consolidating, they are finding that they are able to reduce costs that are spent on administrative fees and spend more of that money towards equipment and training that would help their areas. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up that that's the trend, that it's not just our county, because one of the direction that we gave our contractor was to look at the possibility of consolidation. That is the trend that is going around. There, like I said, there's it's actually Butte County. They have no fire protection districts at this point. They've actually contracted all of their services to CAL FIRE. So there's a lot of reduction in little districts. That's not to say that in a lot of these that the stations themselves are going away. They're just going to be part of an overall umbrella district.
Yeah, so I was on the city council, and I should ask back in 2006 when they did the municipal service review. Maybe we can dig that up for the commissioners, because even back then they said consolidation was what they needed to do. I think in San Bernardino County, it took a two-year process, but they became a countywide fire department. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment in time, for some of you might remember, when there was the state put on a fee for, I forget what it was called, there was a lot of pushback, because the districts had to pay the fee. If you were in a city, you didn't have to pay the fee, but the workaround was to get out of a state responsibility area, was to be your own fire department, right? So consolidation's been on the table forever. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that these departments can't respond to a simple phone call. I think you just go straight to the head of whoever that chief is, and you put the onus on them to get them people to step up to the plate, because...
that's who we
were. Fire district, right now, it's nice and wet now, but we're going to be into a dry season, and God only knows we're going to have another fire season.
Yes.
It's to their benefit to consolidate.
And I think that having Jason, who they knew, Jason Bella, having somebody that they knew call and talk to them and explain to them just how important it was really helped. But it was unfortunate that it took that level of multiple phone calls before finally we were able to get some responses.
I think an important aspect in encouraging them to consolidate would be finding a home for the long-cherished volunteer fire departments, which is a good, institution. It's not like they have to go away. Maybe if we contracted with CAL FIRE, they would. But
yeah.
I think just knowing that institution will continue and be of service to the community.
Well, one of the issues, if I can continue to say real quick, is that, I normally use Manchester Fire Protection District. Thank you, Ms. Harkness, for stepping up being on the board. I'm still trying to find another board member. It took me a couple years to find Ms. Harkness. And so not only the board members, but the volunteers, they're not there anymore. All the more reason to consolidate to pool resources.
Yep.
So, anyways, enough of the soapbox. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, any further questions? Thank you. All right, any additional staff comments on other items?
Yes, I do have one, if I may. We're in conversation with Susan Ready-Mix down in near Mount Shasta. I know there was some conversation potentially of annexing Crystal Geyser Orchard area. And Susan Ready-Mix, their facility, mining facility, is within the jurisdiction of Mount Shasta. They have acquired a piece of land in the county, 160 acres, that they want to incorporate into their mining operation. One potential would be to annex it into Mount Shasta and have it on local jurisdiction. So I'm just making you aware of this. They would like to move forward. So right now, we're at a split jurisdiction for this SMAR regulations. So we do county unincorporated, city Mount Shasta, currently inspects our facility now. So we're going to be meeting with them shortly to see a path forward of some sort.
Does that include the Crystal Geyser area or just that specific property right now?
So it's all just been hearsay, basically, at this point. But they would be interested potentially in annexing to combine the facility.
So the orchard, I think they call it the orchard property, you know, that this is the old mill site, and then there's the Crystal Geyser, which is a sphere of influence, and the city is. Has talked in the past about annexing. The problem, one of the problems are because they don't have a city, they don't have a plan on it.
Right.
They're, you know, they can't, and it's been a while. I spoke to the city manager of all things yesterday. Susan Ready-Mix didn't come up. I don't know if it's on his radar or not.
But I don't know that it is either. I think their preference is that we would take over there because they don't have any inspector right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, right, mining facility.
Sure. Sure. Anyways, I guess, you know, keep us abreast of how it's going to play out. It makes sense if they're in the city. They're not. It's not going to go the other way. We're not going to take over, as a county, I'm not going to take over the city's piece of the equation.
Right.
And I would be reticent to want to take over just because it's in the county. So I think it, to their advantage to annex it and be under that, their jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us would agree to a split jurisdiction. It's problematic when you think about Crystal Geyser and what we went through.
Right.
I don't think I need to add more to that point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. Look forward to that coming up. Any additional staff comments? All right, I'll move into commission comments. Any additional comments?
I may not be here on April 11th.
Okay.
There's a good possibility I won't be here. Just
okay.
Can you let me know for sure when you know?
I will.
And then the county alternate is?
Supervisor Chris?
No, it's
Gobsa.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Any further commission comments? Seeing none, the chair will entertain adjournment.
Great job.
Yeah.
You're adjourned. You can adjourn the meeting.
All right, adjourned.